Today's Shi'ur is Masechet Shavuos, Daf Tezayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tezayin, Amud Aleph. Second line, Kol Shalei Nasa B'Chalela. As we have been discussing, the Mishnah already taught us the entire procedure for how to add to the Azara, how to add to Yerushalayim. And now the Gemara begins, Itmar Afuna Amar B'Chol Eilu Tanan. The way to understand the Mishnah is that all of the steps that are mentioned in the Mishnah are required, and if all of them were not followed, then that won't become the Azara. And the halachas that we've been learning in our Masechta, that the Azara, if somebody goes into the Azara when they're Tamei, what the halacha is, etc., will not be applicable if it's not considered the Azara. Rav Nachman's opinion is, Dachs Mekolela, you don't have to have all of the steps, even if just some of the steps is fulfilled, it's enough to make it into a Makom Mikdash. There are, however, as we look at the different steps in this procedure, there are two categories we could put them into. One is the people who bestow the Kedusha, the Melech, the Navi, the Urim V'Tumim, the Sanhedrin. And then the things that we use to make the Kedusha, the Kabbanahs, the two commentators, the Shir. The discussion here is only about the people. That's where the Rav Huna says that all of the various people that are required are required. Missing any of those people will create that we don't have the Hegdish that we want to have, the Kedusha that we want to have. And Rav Nachman says all of them, and Rav Nachman says even some of them are sufficient. But when we speak about the Kabbonis or something like that, that is not an option. There everybody agrees that to have the Kedusha, you have to have all of the Kabbonis. Otherwise, it's not a question. Regarding the song, the shir, that we spoke about singing and instruments, that the Milchus Chinuch, interestingly enough, points out that might be the least important, because he says the requirement of shir is only the Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, as we spoke in our previous shurim, the Seif and the Chemia tells us how when they came back by the building of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, they did this procedure, and says the Gemara, Rav Huna ma b'kol el tanan, because why does Rav Huna hold that all of the steps are necessary? Says the Gemara, because Rav Huna's opinion is kesava kedusha rishayin kitchel shat of kitchel asalavai. His opinion is that the original kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remained forever. The Gemara's point is that not everything could have been done in the time of Ezra. They didn't have a Urim V'Tumim, for example. So whatever they did in that time was just symbolic. Ezra Seich Ba'al Mahuda Ovid. And that's why it's a proof that you have to do everything. Ezra didn't do everything because Ezra was just symbolic. And he didn't have to do more because the Kedusha Rishona remained forever. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, holds Ach Mikol El Tanan, because his opinion is Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shat of Loi Kitchel Asalavai. The original Kedusha did not remain forever. If the original Kedusha did not remain forever, what Ezra did was absolutely necessary. Ezra Kedusha Kaddish. Ezra actually, the procedure was absolutely necessary. I Afgav Deloi have a Urim V'Tumim. Even though there was no Urim V'Tumim, so how, if everything is required, how could they have done it? It's a proof that not all the steps are absolutely necessary. But as we've quoted previously, the Sefer Devar Yisrael for the Majid Tzareba in his Klali Araisa explains this concept of Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asa Lavai. It says that when we are mechanech our children, when we raise our children, we raise our tamidim, the lesson is that Kedusha Rishona, the original Kedusha that we put into them, Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asa Lavai. If we put a good foundation and a good chinuch into our children, then that kedusha will remain l'shata, will remain for when they are young, for kitchelas alave, and will remain forever. Esvei asked the Gemara, Esvei Reveler of Nachman, we learned in our Mishnah, kol shenasa b'chol eila, if all of the steps mentioned were not done in making the Azara Hegdish, then the aloch is, it's not considered as if the person who was Tameh walked into the Azara. Isn't this clearly a proof that you have to have all the step? Says the Gemara Tani, we have to revise what it says in the Mishnah, Nisni Achs Mekol Eila. So Tosfos asks a question. Now that we've connected this question to the question of Kitcha Rishon, Kitcha La'ashata, L'Asalove, Eloi Kitcha, so why don't we just say that our Mishnah is of the opinion that Kitcha L'Shata, Eloi Kitcha La'Asalove, and therefore the original Kedusha doesn't remain. And if the original Kedusha doesn't remain, you have to do all the steps. But the Tana, who disagreed, doesn't hold that way. So the Rishonim say that when we see the word Tani, it means we're trying to change the wording of our Mishnah. What to understand the Tani here is a different understanding. What Tani here means is understand the Mishnah. Don't change the words of the Mishnah. Rather, understand that that's what the Mishnah means to say. Tashma, the Brisa teaches us. Abishol Omer Shnei Betzin Hay Bahar Mishkan. There were two places on Har Mishka, Tachtoina El Yoina. One on the bottom, Har Mishka's Har Zesim. One on the bottom, one on the top. Tachtoina Neskatcha, the bottom one was sanctified with the Kedushas Yerushalayim B'chol Eila, and all of the steps that we are discussing. El Yoina, the upper area, when it's Kashim B'chol Eila, they did not have the entire procedure. Ela Ba'ila Agoila, it happened Bizman of the Ba'is Sheni, the people that came up after the Golas from Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Shleiber Melech, there was no king. Shleiber Ramatunim, there's no Ramatunim. So says the Braisa. Tachtani Shaisu Kedusha Gemura, the bottom one that had the full-fledged Kedusha, Amoritz Nachnasu L'Sham V'Achlam Sham Kachem Kalim, that's where the Amoritz would eat the Kachem Kalim, because we know Kachem Kalim can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Avaloi Ma'aseh Sheni, when it came to Ma'aseh Sheni, they would try to eat it only in the bottom place, because since the Torah teaches us Asher Shebishviltus Asher, and they understood that eating Ma'aseh Sheni brings wealth, they wanted to eat it specifically in a place that is for sure Yerushalayim, and they'll get that benefit. As far as they're concerned, the Chaverim knew that both places are Yerushalayim, and they ate both Kachem Kal and Ma'aseh Sheni. The upper ear, which didn't have a Kedusha Gemura, they ate the Kachem Kalim. Avloi Ma'aseh Sheni, again, as we said a moment ago, they were most concerned about where they ate Ma'aseh Sheni. They didn't treat it L'chumra as Yerushalayim at all. Why indeed did they not make it have the full-fledged Kedusha? Shem Sifan al Ir Valzaris Elba Melech Vinovi Vurum Tumim Vesivim Shall Besanan Shum Vecha Beshte Toidus Vashir. And when they came back from the Golis, they obviously were missing most, if not all, of these things. They didn't have a Melech, they didn't have Vurum Tumim, they didn't have a Sanhedrin, they didn't have a carbon. So that's why it's not perceived as Kedusha. So ask the Gemara, Lama Kachua. What does the Braisa mean when it says Lama Kachua? And right away the Braisa says Loi Kachua, that it wasn't. It says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Lama Kachua, why did they at all do it? And as we're learning now, what they did actually was counterproductive, because the Amoratsim thought it was Yerushalayim, and that's why they ate Kachem Kalm there. And if we're saying now that it really wasn't effective, should they have not avoided doing it? Since it was right at the highest point of Yerushalayim, and it was a place that Klai Yisrael was vulnerable there. So because of that, even though, as we're learning, says Tosfos, that it could come that they should eat what they're not supposed to eat there, but the danger that Klal Yisrael was in place was something that they should was more important. And the Chasam Sofer takes it a step further. There was a concern that people would be Maisa Nefesh and people would do the wrong thing, and therefore they decided not to. They decided to do it even though there were maybe negative repercussions. Says the Mar Tanaihi, that this question of doing everything, of Kitchel Shani, Kitchel Shata, Kitchel Sazlavai, and as we learn now in our Shir, it has direct impact on the procedure, is actually Machlok Tanaim. The Tanya Amr Belezer Shemati Shikshoye Bainim Hechel. When they built the Hechel, the Kodesh, in the time of Ezra, also Kloim Lehechel, they put up partitions around the Hechel, before the walls were put up, and Kloim Lazarus, and they put up partitions around the Azara as well. Ashba Hechel, when they put up the walls of the partition, they put it up by the Mechutz. The people were standing on the outside part, because we don't want people to go inside the part of the Beis HaMikdash unless it's absolutely necessary. But when they were building the Azara, we don't have that concern. And therefore, Bazaras, they built it b'mifnim. Continues the Braisa. On Rabbi Shua, Shemati, I heard that they bring Kabbonis, Apish and Bais, that Kabbonis could be brought even though the Beis HaMikdash is not standing. Vaychum Kachikachim, and Kachikachim can be eaten in the Azara, Afabisha and Klaim, even though there are no petitions around the area. Kachim Kala Masisheni, and furthermore, Kachim Kala Masisheni can be eaten in Yerushalayim, Afabisha and Klaim, even though it doesn't have a wall. Neshikadusha Rishayna, Kitchelashata, the Kitchelasalavai, that the Kiddusha remains. So this Gemara teaches us a very interesting halacha. The Gemara is telling us that Shemati Mishim, that they could continue bringing Kabbonis even though the Dor Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting that the Rambam holds the Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Shata, Kitchel Asad Lavoi, that a Kedusha continues to exist, and therefore he says, even though the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, we could bring Kabbonis, as the Al Gemara just said. Meches Chinuch says that while indeed one may bring Kabbonis even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the chiyuv of bringing carbon, as we know, we have to bring a carbon tumid every morning and every afternoon, and other Kabbonis musaf, etc., that are Kabbonis that we're obligated to bring, are not. There is no such obligation in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Daruch Nes says it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vashimaisi es mikdashechem v'loreich bereich nechayichem," that a carbon offered while we're in galus doesn't bring a reich nechayich, and a carbon without reich nechayich is not required. But the Gemara Masechet Zvachim, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, teaches us that the mizbeach has to be perfectly intact for us to be able to bring a carbon on it, and if it has a small crack or chip, it will not be able to be used to bring kabbonis. So we can't bring kabbonis because we don't have a mizbeach. And we can't build a mizbeach because the Rambam says that in order to build a mizbeach, we have to have a navi, and obviously we don't have a navi. Also, to find the type of stones which were perfectly smooth that were used for the mizbeach is also difficult to find. The Miri, however, says that according to the opinion, the Kedusha Rishayin Kitchel Shata V'Kitchel Asad Lavai, it's not essential for us to have a perfect mizbeach to bring kabbonis. And therefore, we maybe can bring kabbonis even without a mizbeach. But then the She'elus David gives different explanation why kabbonis can't be offered b'zman hazeh. He says, number one, we can't be certain what is the exact spat of the Beis HaMikdash and the mizbeach. Secondly, because the Kohanim, obviously a carbon can only be brought through Kohanim, and we don't know exactly who is the Kohen Miyuchas that we could say without question that he's a Kohen. We don't have Techeles, and Techeles is necessary for the Big Day Kohuna. And moreover, everybody is bismanazeh is considered a tummy mace, and the only way a tummy mace could achieve tahara is with the paraduma procedure, which obviously we don't have. And therefore, he says that this question is quite academic about bringing kabanis bismanazeh. But again, Rabbi Shua says that even though they didn't have the base of Mikdash, we could still bring the kabanis and eat them in the Yushlaim and the Azara, because clearly Rabbi Shua's opinion is, as the Braisa says, Kitchel Shana Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asalavai. But we find their Beleza disagrees. Lamachlal, their Beleza Ksavar, or Beleza who doesn't agree, obviously holds the like Kitchel Asalavai. What the Gemara therefore is saying is that this halachas, that this subject turns out to be a machloikis tanoim. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi Rimai. Why would you necessarily say that? Tell me the kol alma. It could be that everybody's in agreement. The kedusha rishon the kitchel shatva kitchel asalavai. Umamai the shmeilei kamar. Umamai the shmeilei kamar. Each one didn't. Rabbi Shua didn't come to argue with Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer didn't speak about the kedusha. V'chi teima. If that's the case, why is Rabbi Lezer so concerned about the kloyim making those partitions if they're not necessary because we have the kedusha anyway? Says, why was he so anxious about these petitions? The reason he needed to have the petition was Latsinus Ba'alma. It's respectful that such a place should not just the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, should not be completely exposed. But they're not there to infer Kiddush on it. The Mishnah Masechta Erchin, the Aflame Beis of an Aleph, identifies a number of cities that had walls from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Why is it so important to know that they had wall? Because those cities are called Batei Arichayma. And there's a special halach in those cities that if somebody sells property in such a city, he has the first 2 years from when he sold it to buy it back. If he doesn't, in every other city, if somebody sells in any other city, gets it back by Yovel. Batei Arichayma, you can only get back, you can only redeem in the first year. And if you don't redeem it in the first year, even though we often speak about Yovel, and that all sales revert back by Yovel, and the Batei Arichayma, it doesn't apply. And the reason seemingly is because they wanted that people shouldn't sell those properties. And if they know they'll never get them back, they'll less likely to sell it. When we talk about the Batei Arichayma, Batei Arichayma defined with cities that had walls from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. And the Mishnah, therefore, over there identifies which are these cities. And then the Braisa on that Mishnah says, Amar Shuba Yosi, Lama Mechan Ucham Elu, why did this Mishnah mention these cities? Because says the Braisa, when people came out of Bavel, out of the Golos, after the Churban Bais Rishon, Matsu Elu V'Kitchem, they sanctified these cities. Avol Rishonis, other cities that did have a wall beforehand, Batlu, they lost their Kedusha, Misha Batla Aretz, when the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was gone. Alma Kesavar, isn't this clearly an indication that it is the opinion of Rishmo B'Reb Yossi that Kedusha Rishayna Kitchel Shata V'Loi Kitchel Asalavai, that the original Kedusha expired? Vermini asked the Gemara, there's another Braisa. The Braisa says, Amar Rishmo B'Reb Yossi V'Chi Elu B'Vad, are these the only cities that had a war from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the cities that are mentioned in that Mishnah Masechta Ervechin? Like for Nemar, isn't there another Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Shishim Ir, Kol Chelva Erga Memlechus Oig Baboshin, Kol Erim Betzuz Chayma Gvaya. So, Elam Manacham Manus Elu. So why were these cities singled out? Shalom B'nei Elam Matzu Elu V'Kitchim. So the Gemara stops. The Kitchim Hashta, doesn't mean that they made them now Kedush Kaddish Hamrinan Lekamon. The Brisa there itself says the light Tzruch LeKedusha, that we don't have to re-sanctify them because they had the original Kedusha. So how do we reconcile what's happening? It must be Elmanu Elu Umar Elu Mutsu Elu Banam. As they saw these cities, they mentioned them, but not that their Kedusha is dependent on those cities. And continues the Bryce of Loyal Bavad, not just these cities, El Kol Shatal Biotchim Sars Mevasecha, any city that you will have a Mesoira on that city, Shemakavis Chaim and Meshishu Benun, that it's a city that has a wall from the time of Yeshua Nun, Kol HaMitzvus Elu, the mitzvahs that apply to the cities that have a wall from Yeshua Benun, which, as we said, the halacha of Batei Rechaima, but there are other halachas that there are halachas that every city has to have space around it where they plant and where they don't plant. That's a din Batei that are Batei Rechaima. Another halacha, the Gemara Erechon says that these cities have to be kept in the form that they were originally, and of course, the most common halacha is which city keep Purim on your Dalet Adar, and which city keeps Purim and Tezvav Adar. So, Noyag Spoy, any city that we know had this designation, Kedusha Rishon HaKitchel L'Shatav HaKitchel L'Asad Lavay. So here we see that he holds that the original Kedusha remains. So don't we have now, ask the Gemara, Kasha Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi, Ad Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi, we have a stira. Answers the Gemara, Yibayis Eima, Trey Tanoi, Leave Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi. One way of understanding this Gemara is that we have a Mechloikus Tanoim. What was the opinion of Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi? Yibayis Eima, Chod Minay Rav Elazar Bar Yossi, Amar. One of these two brises was not said by Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi, but rather by Rav Elazar Bar Yossi. The Tanya, as the brisa teaches us, Rav Elazar Bar Yossi, Amar, the brisa says, when it speaks about the Batei Rechaima, V'kama bayis asher b'ir ashloi chayma l'tzmises l'kainai oisai. Loi means it remains the property of the person who bought it if you didn't buy it back within a year. But why does it say the word loi? The word loi means his house. It should be spelled lamed vav, but it's spelled lamed vav aleph. To teach us, that b'shein lei akshav, that even though it currently doesn't have the wall, but Haile Koidim Kain, it had the wall originally, then it retains the Kedusha. And the reason it retains the Kedusha is the Kedusha Rishon HaKitchel L'Shata, the Kitcha L'Asad Lavay. So, and the Gemara is saying that that's a Machlokes Tanoim. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody was Nitma Bazara, if somebody as he was in the Azara became Tamei, the Nelma Mena Tuma, and he forgot that he's Tamei, and therefore he bowed down where he was Shah, he remained there, he's chayiv. Ask the Gemara first question. Tumah b'azara minolon. How does somebody become tamei in the azara? Says the Gemara. Amar b'lazar kosv echray mishkan Hashem timei v'nekros anefshehi. V'kosv echray v'nekros anefshehi b'toch hakol. Skmigdash Hashem timei. So we learn, says the Gemara, v'kroy miyosef. We have two psukim, and the Tosuk is teaching us that in both cases you're going to be tamei, not just for going into the Beis Hamikdash when you're tamei, but even for remaining in the Beis Hamikdash or the Azara when you are tamei. But ask the Gemara, Krom Yasri, are these psukim superfluous that we could learn this limit from those psukim? But ask the Gemara, Mitzvah Tzrichi, aren't both these psukim needing? The Tanya Blaza Oimer Imnem Mishkan. The first pasuk says Mishkan, and the second pasuk says Migdash. Imnem Migdash Lama Nem Mishkan. Says the Bryce, Ila Nem Mishkan V'lo Nem Migdash. Hayisayim Al Mishkan Uchayiv. That Yichayiv for being tum for tum in the Mishkan. Shem Shuk V'Shem Nem Mishka. As we learned in our previous year, the Mishkan's kedusha was obtained through the Shem Nem Mishka. But Beis HaMikdash lo yeh chayiv, but you won't be chayiv for the Beis HaMikdash because it didn't become kadosh with the Shem and HaMishka. The Nem HaMikdash lo yeh Nem HaMishkan, if the Torah would have only said the word Mikdash and not Mishkan, HaYeh Soimer al Mikdash yeh chayiv, yeh chayiv on the Mikdash, Sherei Kedushas HaKedushas Olam. Once the Beis HaMikdash was inaugurated, it remains kadosh forever. What does it mean it remains kadosh forever? As unfortunately, it wasn't forever. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but the effect of the Beis HaMikdash remains forever. Because once the Beis HaMikdash was put up, never again will we be allowed to bring Kabbanos on Bamos. Vila Mishkan lo yechayiv, and therefore, since the Mishkan does not have that kedusha, maybe the halach of tumah won't apply there. Kachna meMishkan. Therefore, the Torah had it say both Mishkan and both Mishkan Mikdash. So, how could you say that we have an extra pasuk to teach us this halacha that even just for remaining there, yotamei, Rabbi Lezer? So how does Rabbi Lezer defend itself? Hakakashlei, Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, or Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, if the Mikdash and Mishkan are the same, Nichtav Idi Idi Mikdash, so we should have used the pasuk Mikdash in both Psukim, or Idi Idi Mishkan, or the pasuk should have used the word Mishkan in both Psukim. Why do we find, says Rabbi Lezer, Mishkan and Mikdash Lamali, why do we need it to change wording, once called Mishkan and once called Mikdash, Shema Minotati, to teach us both halachas that they apply both in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and that the halach of Tumah is not just for somebody who enters when he's Tameh, but it also applies for somebody who just remains there where he's Tameh. Says the Marbishlama, Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, that the Mikdash is called Mishkan Diksiv. The Pasuk says, the Sati Mishkani B'Sechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a bracha. If we'll do what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell amongst us. Ella, Mishkan Dekri Mikdash Minayin, that the Mishkan is called Mikdash. Where do we find that? Ilayim V'Diksiv, Nasa Kasim, Naisa Mikdash, that the Torah speaks about how they transported the Mishkan. And the Pasuk says that the Kasim carried, and they were the Naisa Mikdash. Says the Maruch, what were they carrying? They were carrying the Aron. So yes, the Aron is considered the Mikdash. But again, how do we know that the entire Mishkan is considered Mikdash? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, El Mahacha, the Pasuk says, Vasuli Mikdash Shishkanti B'Soicham. And then the Pasuk says, to what are we referring to when the Pasuk says, Vasuli Mikdash? We're referring to the Mishkan, HaKcholash Nimara Oishchav Es Tavnas HaMishkan. So we see that they're both called Mishkan and Mikdash. So I saw that the Shem Shmuel explains, so if they're both the same, why do they have different wording, Mishkan, Mikdash? So the Shem Shmuel explains that when we speak about a place where the Shekhinah Kadosh dwells, where we have the Mishkan and the Mikdash, the Kedush could come in one of two ways. It could come as a Mishkan, where a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings his Kedusha to that spot. Mishkan, Vasa Mikdash, Shachanti B'Soicham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down his Kedusha to that spot. Then we can have another consideration, and that is that it's considering that it's a Mikdash because we make it a Mikdash. By us bringing Kedusha to our area, by us bringing Kedusha to that spot, our Kedusha with the Sarusa de Sata, that we bring the Kedusha from down here, that gives the kedusha to that gives the kedusha to that place. Continues the Gemara. Hishtachva, if somebody bowed down with Shara Kadei Hishtachva, if he bowed down or he stayed that long, then he's chayiv. So the question is, what is the definition of Hishtachva? And what is the definition of Shara Kadei Hishtachva? So says the Gemara, Amrava, lo shano el shtachva klapi pnim. Instead of somebody became tameh, and his obligation is to leave the base of Mikdash immediately, and instead of doing so, he faced klapi pnim and bowed down, then that's considered delaying, and that's why he's chayiv. But if klapi chutz, as he's walking out, he bows down, so if shoyin, if that caused a delay, so then he's chayiv. Loisha, but if he's walking out anyway and his bowing down didn't create any delay, loy. But says the Gemara, ikde masleh seifa. Some say that this then applies to what it said in the Mishnah. So we see from here, points out the Gemara, from here we see that hishtachava itself is not something that you chayiv, only when it took a certain amount of time. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, if you're bowing down as you're walking out and it, you did it in a way that you got delayed, then you'll be chayiv. If you bow down in the wrong direction, even if it didn't take a lot of time, and the Gemara explains itself. If you bow down towards the base of English, that you waited the amount of time to pace down, and you bow down on your way out, but it caused you to stop for the amount of ishtachava, then you're going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, or asked the Gemara, hey chidami, so what exactly is meant? That we're learning now that ishtachava has a shear. So now the Gemara wants to know, what is the shear? What is the definition that it takes time? Says the Gemara, the less by Shia, Zukri Ba'alma, if you just bow down, that's not something that's considered a significant amount of time of Ishtachava. This by Shia, what is the definition? The Isbay Shia, that he did it in he did it Pisha Daim Reglaim, that he bows down on the floor, and it's not just bowing down, laying prostrating on the floor. It also involves your feet and your hands being all lined up. That is considered a shtachva shesh b'shia. The kama shira shia, how much time does that take? Says the Gemara, pligi bar Rav Yitzchak ben Nachmeni v'chad imei, with his the person that he was disagreeing with. Umanu, who was that? Rav Shimon ben Pazi. V'amilei, and the other version of this is, there's Rav Shimon ben Pazi v'chad imei manu Rav Yitzchak ben Nachmeni. V'amilei, Rav Shimon ben Nachmeni charam to memory that pasuk, the amount of time that we're going to see the pasuk in a moment, the amount of time it takes to say that pasuk, the charama, the amount of time it takes to say from the word the yichru, let's say from the word yichra to the end of the pasuk. What is the pasuk? The pasuk says v'chol b'nei yisrael royim b'redes ha'esh k'vayr Hashem al habayis v'yichru apayim arza al haretzba v'yishtachvu v'hoydus l'Hashem ki toiv. That pasuk, and the only question is, what part of that pasuk is the part that is considered kedei shtachava? Tanar Abonin, when we have kidah, that's one form of bowing down, that means alapayim. A person bows down until his head is touching the floor. The Keno Oimer and the pasuk indicates that, because the pasuk says, v'tikad b'sheva apayim oritz. Kriya means albekayim, that you went down on your knees. You go down on your knees and your face touches the floor. Kena Omer, and here too, the pasuk says, Mechroy al Berkov, Ishtachva Zupishi Dai Reglaim, as we spoke about a moment ago. Kena Omer, however, Havoy Nova Niva Imchva Achecho, Ishtachva Slucha Arza, Yaakov Avinu said that. And the way the Mepharshim explain is because Yosef said that he saw the Shemesh v'Yireich v'achat kachav mishtachav ali. So Yosef used the word mishtachavim. And then when Yaakov Avinu heard the dream, he said, l'shtachavos l'cha orzo. So we see from here the definition of the word hishtachavah is the amount of time the definition of shtachava is a shtachva arza, the amount of time it takes to go down on the earth. So here we learned a very new halacha, and that the halacha is that just shia, just waiting, is considered something in halacha. So one of the halachas we all know, when we speak about Hilchos Brachos, for example, is that when somebody is going to do something, a mitzvah, he's supposed to make a bracha before he does it, over l'siyosim. So, example, if somebody's going to put on tzitzis, somebody's going to put on a talis, he has to make a bracha before he puts on. What happens if a person forgot to make a bracha before he put on the talis? So the halacha is that as long as he's wearing the talis, he could still make the bracha. But then the question comes up, if somebody puts on, and the Rambam explains it, because the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hey, in explaining this halacha, says, Shadayin Asiyosu Kiyemis. My original act is still there And since my original act was still there, I could still make a bracha. So now the question is, what would be the halacha if somebody put on his tzitzis by night, which is not yet the time to put on tzitzis, didn't make a bracha, couldn't make a bracha, because he put on the tzitzis in a time where there's no chiv to put on tzitzis, and then remains wearing those tzitzis into the day. Will he make a bracha or not? Do we say that you make a bracha only in a case where you did the mitzvah properly, forgot to make the bracha, but still, since you're in the middle of the mitzvah, you can make the bracha? But here, when you made the bracha, you didn't do any, you didn't do a mitzvah. And just remaining with the mitzvah may not be adequate to make a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that in such a situation, even if you put on the bracha, even if you put on the tzitzis by night, but you remained wearing it during the day, the halacha is that it's still considered that you could make the bracha. And even though the original maisa was not a maisa mitzvah. And the way I saw the Achronim, Shagas Aryeh Har Tzvi explain, we look at our Gemara as the proof to that concept. Because our Gemara has just taught us that a person who is just stays in the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tamei, so when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash, he obviously wasn't Tamei. He became Tamei while he was in the Beis HaMikdash. Yet the Halacha teaches us that if he is remain just for remaining somewhere, it's considered an Aveira, even though it's not attached to any Maisa. So certainly by a mitzvah, even if I'm just wearing tzitzis, which cannot be attached to a Maisa mitzvah, because when I put on the tzitzis, it was a time that I'm not mechuyev mitzitzis, it still could be considered, it could still be considered attached, and because it's still considered attached, you will be able to make the bracha on the tzitzis.